As you seek to follow God's will for your life, you'll go through some times of discouragement. Here's what it looked like for Nancy Lee DeMoss.
I have found myself battling fear, extreme weariness, plaguing doubts. I cannot tell you how many times I have wanted to go AWOL.
How do you handle seasons like that? This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Thursday, August 27th, 2015. This week we've been in the book of Judges with Nancy. She's been describing the courage of Deborah in a message called A True Woman Joins the Battle. It's been a rich portrait of a woman who inspired the men around her to trust God and take action. And if you missed the first two installments of this story, you can hear them at reviveourhearts.com. Nancy first delivered this message at one of the True Woman conferences. Let's listen to part three from a message called A True Woman Joins the Battle. Deborah isn't the only woman God used in this story from Judges.
This is the account of the destruction of Sisera. I won't take time to read the whole passage right now, but the Canaanite commander was destroyed at the hands of a woman named Jael. She was not an Israelite, but in this case, she sided with the God of Israel against his enemies. Sisera flees through the torrential downpour, the storm that God has sent, to her tent, assuming that he will be safe there since her family has a treaty with the Canaanites. And he gets to her tent. You can just imagine he's cold, he's wet, he's drenched to the bone, he's exhausted. Jael welcomes him. She invites him in. She gives him some milk. He's exhausted. He falls asleep. She covers him up. And then she takes a hammer and drives a tent peg into his head and kills him. Now, keep in mind as you read that gory story that Sisera was a ruthless, violent man who was attempting to destroy God's chosen people. In fact, chapter 5, verse 30, his own mother talks about how he and his men would have thought nothing of raping and killing any woman they considered an enemy. So put that in that context. And in Deborah's victory hymn in chapter 5, Jael's act of courage is celebrated and she is blessed by God. My friend Charles Haddon Spurgeon says in one of his books, "The Lord can still use feeble instrumentalities." Why not me? He may use persons who are not commonly called to great public engagements. Why not you? And so we have the conclusion of the battle. Chapter 4, verse 23 tells us that on that day, God subdued Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the people of Israel. Chapter 5, verse 31 tells us, and the land had rest for 40 years. Notice the sequence, though. First the battle, and then the rest. We want the rest, the victory, without going through all the hardships of the battle. There are times when we get really weary. And you know what that's like. If you've got teenagers, you may be feeling that right now. If you've got toddlers, you may be feeling that right now. Remember first the battle and then the rest. You can't enjoy the rest, the peace, the victory, till we've been through the battle. The impact of Deborah's life, her courage, her faith, her godly influence was felt not only in her generation, but also in the next 40 years. What mark will your life leave on your generation and on the one to come? I don't have to tell you that the spiritual battle in our day is no less intense than it was in Deborah's. The enemy is no less powerful. God is chastising his people for our sins and our idolatry. And there's so many believers who seem absolutely, utterly clueless, oblivious to what is going on. And then there are a lot of others who realize what's going on, but they feel helpless, powerless to do anything about it. John Angell James, I quoted at the beginning. Let me quote again. A community is not likely to be overthrown where women fulfills her mission. For by the power of her noble heart over the hearts of others, She will raise it from its ruins and restore it again to prosperity and joy. And oh, how I pray that God will raise up in our day not just one woman, but thousands of women across this country and around the world, women who will arise as Deborah did, women of the Word, women of clear vision, clarity, courage, conviction, faith, humility, women who are willing to say, "Yes, Lord." Women whose lives will inspire the men around them to believe God for what only He can do. And I believe that the influence of that army of godly women will be incalculable in our homes, our churches, and in our culture. Now, this is a battle, I need to warn you, that is not for the faint of heart. We have a tireless enemy who hates God. And he's not pleased with the thought of thousands of women saying yes to Christ. In fact, a year and a half ago when we sat in Schaumburg, Illinois at True Woman 08, it was a great, great weekend. God moved in a powerful way there as he has here this weekend. But I have to confess, I was not prepared for the battle that we were entering into. Since the launch of the True Woman movement at True Woman 08, for me and for others around me, the battle has intensified. I have battled fear, something I was not really familiar with prior to that time, weariness, doubt, discouragement, my own flesh. I cannot tell you how many times I have wanted to go AWOL. I have become tired of swimming upstream, tired of getting shot at. I have wanted to go back to where it's safe, to have a more normal life. In fact, I will tell you, and our team knows this, that if it had been up to me, we would not have had any True Woman 10 conferences. I was too tired. I did not want to do this. Not because I didn't want to see the outcome, but I just wanted out of the battle. But God has his hand and his call on my life. My life is not my own. It's tethered to Christ, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And I am learning through my weakness that there is no safer place to be than in the thick of the battle with him. I'm learning that our God is a mighty fortress, a bulwark never failing, our helper, he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. Some of you have read the story in the Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. There's a point in that story where Edmund, Lucy, and Caspian are on a voyage from Narnia, headed east toward Aslan's country at the end of the world. At one point, their ship, the Dawn Treader, anchors near land, and they all go ashore. Some of the sailors are tired of the long journey. They want to stop and spend the winter there where they are, and then head back west and return home to Narnia in the spring. And they're told that if they stay where they are, every evening they will be given a feast fit for a king. That makes them even more reluctant to press on eastward toward Aslan's country. And then Reepicheep speaks up. Remember Reepicheep, the valiant talking mouse? And he expresses his determination to keep pressing on no matter what. And here's what he says. "My plans are made. While I can, I sail east in the Dawn Treader. When she fails me, I paddle east in my coracle. small boat. When she sinks, I shall swim east with my four paws. And when I can swim no longer, if I've not reached Aslan's country, I shall sink with my nose to the sunrise. God hasn't promised that the journey will be easy. But he has promised to go with us. He's promised to go with you wherever you're going into the battle today. And he's promised that one day prayer will be praise, faith will be sight, every tear will be dried, and our journey will be rewarded. Some are tired and they want to stop. They don't want to press on. Some want their reward here and now. And they may choose to turn back. Perhaps some who've come with you may make that choice. But by God's grace and for his glory, my course is set. My plans are made. And I plan to press on until we reach Aslan's country, the New Jerusalem, the city of the great king. Will you go with me?
Nancy Lee DeMoss knows what it's like to grow tired and discouraged when you're following God's calling on your life. She also knows the value of staying in the battle. I hope Nancy's honest account of the struggles and the joys of staying in the battle has encouraged you. If you appreciate receiving this kind of biblical encouragement each weekday, would you support Revive Our Hearts so we can continue bringing the program to you? When you make a donation of any size, we'd like to send a book Nancy edited called Becoming God's True Woman. It will give you biblical perspective on beauty, on family relationships, on suffering, and many other practical topics. Ask for Becoming God's True Woman when you donate any amount by calling 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Well, today we looked at the example of Deborah and saw that a true woman joins the battle. And one of the greatest ways you can battle for God's kingdom is through prayer. For the next few minutes, we're going to focus on that topic, women battling by spending time on their knees. It's the focus of a new film by the Kendrick brothers and our friend Priscilla Shire. And calling women to pray is a huge need in our day, as Nancy explains.
In recent days, I've sensed a growing spirit of discouragement and hopelessness in our land. And there's an urgent search for answers. Answers for a nation that has lost its way. For communities that have been torn apart by moral erosion and racial division. For churches that desperately need the breath of God. For families that are in deep pain and dysfunction. And most of all, for individual hearts that long for the healing hand of Christ. Hearts that need to be revived.
In this context, we need women who will pray. At Revive Our Hearts, we're trying to spread a message that there's an urgent call to prayer. And we're excited to partner with others who are sounding the same call.
There's a powerful new tool available to deliver this message. It's for everyone, but I think it will be especially encouraging to women. War Room is a movie that shares how one woman on her knees before the throne of God can be a means of deep, lasting transformation in the lives of those she loves.
The movie War Room was produced by the Kendrick brothers, who also brought us Facing the Giants, Fireproof, and Courageous. Alex and Stephen Kendrick spent a long time praying, asking the Lord what topic he'd have them explore in their latest movie. Here's Stephen.
After Courageous came out, we spent about a year and a half in prayer, just asking the Lord for clear direction. And it was during the summer of 2013 that we both felt like God was leading us to focus on the issue of prayer.
The story focuses on a young wife who learns the power of prayer from an older woman. The Kendrick brothers needed just the right actress for the female lead and thought of the Bible teacher for women, Priscilla Shire. You've heard her on Revive Our Hearts. She wrote a book to support one of the Kendrick brothers' earlier movies.
We really enjoyed working with Priscilla on the Resolution for Women book that she was writing as we were writing the Resolution for Men, and got to know her and her husband Jerry, and it was such a wonderful, harmonious partnership with them. And we saw the power of God on Priscilla's life and her ministry and became just good friends with them. And then as we were working on War Room, it became clear that the lead characters needed to be an African-American couple. And we thought, who do we know that has a great personality, is young, but also would leverage the platform of this film to advance the kingdom? And she was number one on the call sheet for us.
My husband and I saw their name pop up on our caller ID on our cell phones and put the phone on speakerphone. The phone call began with them saying,
"Hey, can you do us a favor?"
We have learned that any time the Kendrick brothers' names come up on our caller ID, to prepare ourselves, because there is going to be a fantastic adventure attached to that phone call. And lo and behold, the favor they were thinking of was me being in this film. And we laughed out loud, and then I said, "No way. Don't you know there are real actors and actresses that will be able to do a whole lot better job than I could?"
We didn't know if Priscilla could act.
I have not done any acting before, unless you count the drama productions in high school, you know, at in the youth group at church.
But she prayed about it, and she read the script.
And once I read the script, man, I realized this is still ministry. It's not off the beating path of what I've been called to do. It's just a different way of saying a message to people that I'd want to say anyway. So I'd usually say it in writing or in speaking or teaching, but this is just another genre, and I thought, you know what, why not give it a try? And it's been a gift to us to be a part of this project.
And we've been blown away at how good of a performance that Priscilla does as Elizabeth in War Room. I think people are not going to be disappointed at all.
Priscilla mentioned that this movie delivers the same message she'd want to deliver anyway. And she says that message is urgently needed in our day.
You know, on August 28th, when this film opens in theaters, it's right in the middle of a whirlwind of political chaos and a whirlwind of cultural chaos. And know that it's not by chance. We are in such need of the people of God to be called to prayer now like never before.
When we look at our nation and what is going on with the division that is across the nation, racial division, denominational division, and we also look at the lukewarmness that is in the church right now. You know, America is like the Titanic, morally sinking. And God's judgment is promised to come on a nation that is rejecting Him. At the same time, His people are always called to repent of their own sins and to unify in prayer. And so the Great Awakenings were ushered in when the churches begin to really repent and seek the Lord. And we realize the wisdom of the Lord's timing in calling the church right now to prayer with all that is going on.
So if this movie is about women encouraging other women to pray, why the title War Room?
When the phrase War Room is mentioned, it's mostly mentioned in a military setting. It is a room where the leaders of the military will go. They will begin to assess their enemy and then strategize on how they can best defeat him, given that assessment. Well, in this film, War Room refers to a room devoted to doing just that, but in a spiritual sense. Assessing the enemy, figuring out where he's moving, where you anticipate that he might be moving, and then to begin to craft in prayer a strategy to call out to God on behalf of those things that you have discovered about who the enemy is and what his plan has become for your life.
In the beginning of the film, you see a few images from the Vietnam War, and then it goes right into how God has called us to fight our battles in a spiritual sense on our knees in prayer. And so throughout the film, we're using Jesus' words when he says in Matthew 6 that when you pray, go into your inner room and pray to your Father in the secret place, and he will reward you openly. And it is very important that believers learn to engage the Lord in prayer first before they ever try to deal with issues in the physical realm. You know, it's Joshua on his knees before the commander of the Lord's army getting the strategy before he took on Jericho. It's Esther calling the nation to 3 days of fasting and prayer before she went before the king. It's Jesus praying all night before he chose his 12 disciples. There's a consistent model in Scripture that when we come before the Lord and seek his wisdom and provision and counsel first, and seek his heart and his face first, that he rewards that. And we've seen it in our own lives, that we make much better decisions and much greater the outcome will be when we engage the Lord in prayer first before we do anything else.
War Room opens tomorrow, and Priscilla encourages you to go see it.
Even if you're a little unsure, because, you know, maybe you've seen faith-based films before and they haven't been the quality or the level that you would have liked for them to be, I really do think that this movie is going to change your mind about that for several reasons. One of them is that the Kendrick brothers have gone out of their way to make sure that this is a quality film. I mean, exactly what you would expect from a very high-budget Hollywood picture. That's what you're going to see here. The cinematography is fantastic, and they have a fantastic script. You are going to laugh. I have seen this movie now several times with several different audiences, and they are roaring and in laughter, particularly at one of the characters named Miss Clara.
Just getting to know Miss Clara and experiencing her wit, her humor, and her passion for the Lord is worth the price of the ticket.
Even if you're not sure yet about this whole prayer business, you will love Miss Clara and her quick comebacks and her comments. They're just hysterical. You will be endeared to this project and enjoy it. The entertainment value alone is worth going and taking your friends, but you will leave having not just been entertained, but will be challenged and inspired to really see and understand that there is an enemy behind the scenes, but he does not have to have victory in your life.
Go see this film with your family, as a married couple, with your small group at your church, anyone that you want to be praying with or need to be praying with in the future, and use War Room as a launching pad for a deeper walk with the Lord.
I'm hoping that our culture, our country is called to revival. I am hoping that people will leave the theater and not be able to go home and not pray, that they will just find a new fervency toward prayer. They will find an effectiveness as they see God answer, and that because so many people begin to pray, marriages begin to pray, churches begin to put an emphasis on prayer.
That the church will become more purified as we're repenting and unifying and seeking the Lord in prayer. We believe prayer is the wind in the sails of every ministry of every church, and that we don't just tag prayer onto what we're already doing, but we follow the model of the church in Acts, that we devote ourselves to prayer. We go above and beyond. We prioritize it above other things. And so if we as couples will become praying couples, our marriages will be stronger. If we're praying for our children, they will grow up to be much mightier in the Lord as we're interceding on their behalf. We're commanded to pray for those in authority over us. I believe that God will give us better political leaders and governmental leaders when we're praying for the ones that we have. And also, we're commanded to pray for missions and for him to send more laborers into the harvest field. And so eternity is impacted by the prayers of the saints. And so we hope that churches will become houses of prayer for all nations again.
As that happens, God promises that, listen, if my people who are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray, I'm going to hear and I'm going to heal.
When God's people begin to do battle in prayer, nothing is ever the same. Healing and freedom transpire, fullness becomes the norm, and our lives become abundantly fruitful. I'm eager for you to see War Room because it's at the heart of what makes a true woman and what propels her into a lifestyle of thriving in Christ. I believe this movie could help you experience the eternal difference that only God can make. So I want to encourage you, be sure to watch it and get others to join you. I know that you won't be disappointed.
Thanks, Nancy. War Room opens in theaters tomorrow. For details, you'll find a link on our website, reviveourhearts.com. So over the last several years, there's been a lot of talk about attitudes toward homosexuality. That wasn't just talk for one mom. She watched and prayed as her son entered more and more deeply into a homosexual lifestyle. Hear the story of a praying mom and her son, starting tomorrow on Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy Lee DeMoss is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.